Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition of the School of Social Marketing with Dr. Ron Capps. Dr. Capps is a communication professor in Northwest Missouri. He follows trends in social media with both a classroom and a personal perspective, teaching college age and sometimes older students about the evolution of social media, has taught the niche prof a lot about personal and corporate brand management. He uses the skills that he's developed for clients, demonstrating that content is king. And you can index well with a variety of extensions if you know what to do and do it. So, Dr. Capps, you have been exploring a number of social media platforms over the years in particular. It's been an amazing evolution up to this point in time, but you do have that unique perspective of being a college professor, so you have to equate with younger people, 25, college now is 18 to 25 or so, and then the older folks going back to school for education. So it gives you a different perspective, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, you are in a place where you've got basically a microcosm of what's going on out there. From the time I began teaching a few decades ago, we didn't have to worry about cell phones or mobile devices or tablets in the classroom. You had notepads and pen and paper and binders. Now you've got a competing environment of tablets and smartphones and all kinds of devices, chats going on, Snapchats. Not so much Facebook anymore. I'm seeing more and more of the college students begin to back away a little bit from that and move over to things like Instagram and Snapchat and programs like that. But these are options that weren't even there a decade ago or 12 years ago.
Well, certainly some of these options weren't even there 5 years ago. And, you know, that's what's so fascinating about this whole process of, you know, certainly my personal interests have moved from just figuring out how to do a website into the content development of it, and certainly a phase, and we are still doing the phase of Blog Talk Radio and podcasting. But my fascination is now in video. And I realized over the last couple of years in particular, but certainly even the last few months, that the capability, once you understand the fundamentals of some of these things, it just expands tremendously. I was at the Halifax River Yacht Club last night shooting some video of a special event. And, you know, it then come back and do a little editing with it, and within a matter of hours I can have things up on a YouTube channel available for viewing from people by people who weren't there, and many other people who might just have an interest in what's going on. And certainly that a few years ago was almost impossible, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it was. The technology is exploding exponentially. Not too long ago, Video FX was the newest thing, and then all of a sudden it begat, you know, another program, and that begat Explaindio, and that begat, and, you know, exponentially it seems to come along. All of a sudden now we've got probably a dozen or more different programs that you can embed videos directly into your Facebook fan page or timelines. That's been a wave in the last month. Interestingly enough, if you're an affiliate marketer, some of the programs have been set up so that people can take that program and go into JVZoo or a affiliate platform like that. And if you go in and you look very carefully at the programs that are available or products that are available for you to sell or promote and put in something like Facebook video, you're going to go through there and you might find the same exact video program being called something different, being offered by 20 or 30 different people at 20 or 30 different price points, you know, anywhere from $7 to $97. And yet it's the same exact program because of the rights they bought, the way that they're choosing to market it. So not only is there a flood of products on the market and technology, there's a diversification of the repackaging and rebranding, and in some cases, not even a rebranding of the same product. So you've got to get in and do your own due diligence, or you're going to wind up paying $97 for something you could have got for $7.
Yeah, and sometimes it's the entry level. You know, you can buy it real cheap, but the next thing you know, there's a one-time offer and an upsell and all of that. But before we get into anything specific that you wanted to do, I've got a question of, and it's about indexing, you know, in a general sense. And you know, I know that there's a lot of variables, but I've got the free version of something called ProRank Tracker, you know, and it just really to try to understand how these analytic tools work. And one of the items that I had put in, you know, the free version only gives you a couple options, but I put in Daytona Beach video marketing to track. And it returned some results that I found of interest, and I know I asked you to check one for me, and I asked somebody else, but it returned Daytona Beach video marketing under video. It said I'm indexed in the top 10. Now, I think that it's on a local search basis, not on the global basis. But when I would type into just a Google search video marketing, out of the personal side, and I'm on the global end of it, I still see me, Daytona Beach video marketing, on the first page. I put it into an incognito window, and I still see it there. But you don't, and another fellow that I asked don't. Is there rhyme or reason to this of why I see it? Is it simply because it's on my computer?
Well, it's on your IP address. And your IP address is what is being read by Google to know where you are. And it's returning results relevant to where you are. I'm not where you are. My IP address is different. So it returns different things for me. That's where we get
into. Okay, so
geotargeting.
It's based then pretty much on feeding me information in the immediate area that I'm in.
Correct.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. You know, and certainly, you know, being on the first page from a local perspective is where I would like to be anyway. But you know, I was just kind of stunned by, you know, when I saw it, you know, it playing out like that. But that gets back into the basics of really understanding how analytics and search terms and all of that works, doesn't it?
It does. And one thing that I'm very guilty of, and I'm trying to mend my ways, is I totally underutilize Google Analytics, and yet Google Analytics can give you more insights in its current version than you would ever have any need for beyond what they offer. What they provide in their analytic data is exponentially greater than it was when they originally came into being. I can remember in the early days of the website going in to cPanel and checking stats there, web stats and so forth. And my Jazz site, it was a day to celebrate when all of a sudden I could go in and I could see that the site had been accessed by over 120-some different countries. But the analytics are so far beyond that at this point in time that if you take the time to use them and integrate them properly, you can get a wealth of data that will allow you to tailor and target your message to the people that are actually engaging with you.
Well, it's been a little while since we've had this conversation. What have you been working on in the last week and a half or 2 weeks?
Well, I've been working on my battle with Avast. My advice to anyone out there is do your own due diligence. I would certainly not recommend Avast to anyone. Avast does not honor their guarantee that they put on their site. And I've been an advocate of Avast for several years, but the newest version, Premier 2015, doesn't work properly. They don't respond properly. They will sell you a service to go in and take care of it. They will tell you they guarantee they will get it fixed to your satisfaction within 5 days. Well, we're going on the end of the second week, and they don't even bother to respond to the support tickets. I've talked to 29 different people, and at this point we are beginning to put out social media videos and public service announcements about Avast fails, because it fails mightily. Perhaps the most reliable antivirus internet security program out there is Kaspersky, at least in the testing it seems to come out the best. There's also AVG. I'm not an advocate of Norton or Symantec, but I would take a look at Kaspersky, and by all means, at this point in time, I would view Avast as totally non-responsive and in some cases downright insulting and rude in the way they go about handling things. And mine is not an isolated case, since I put my information out there. I am receiving responses from many other people that have found themselves in the same exact situation.
How do you spell Kaspersky?
Kaspersky.
Okay, I'm going to check it out and certainly encourage other people to do so as well. Go ahead.
Kaspersky does have a free for 30 days version before you have to choose an upgrade. And they do have a license available for up to 5 devices, and they can be multiple devices. So if you buy that license, and if I remember correctly, it's probably somewhere between $40 and $70. It will cover your laptop, your desktop, Android phones, tablets. So basically, you can cover whatever 5 devices. For example, my case, I can cover my laptop, my wife's laptop, my tablet, and both of our smartphones.
Well, it's something to look into, because certainly security, but customer service is essential these days to be able to get some kind of response. Now, you've been also, I guess this has been a kind of a sidetracking of the Resale Rights Club. How's that coming along?
It is coming along. It's not the only. I'm very involved in a conference that is going to be held in St. Louis, May 1st through 3rd, for professional hypnotists, other professional practitioners, stage hypnotists, and the general public. And I've been handling all of the marketing and PR and the site work and everything for that. So that is a major demand on time at this particular point. The Resale Rights Club is still moving along, uploading files, downloading products, so that when it does go live, hopefully it will be on a solid platform and be able to deliver the products in a timely manner.
What's the hypnotist conference going to be like? To be the organizer, one is one level. To be a participant is a level. I mean, I know you have spoken at a number of these. It's got to be much more complicated and involved to try to be an organizer, isn't it?
It is one of the main challenges is not only with the site design and trying to simplify it so that you've got a wide variety of people in your potential audience that are not necessarily internet type people, nor are they web designers or internet marketers, and trying to deliver the information to them in a timely manner. The creation of a media room, the development of press releases and getting those out there, the graphic elements, the video elements, the customizing of the videos, the scheduling of the speakers. It's a very time-consuming task, among other things, is getting the participants and so forth to be responsive in providing the information they need to provide so that it can be shared on the website with others, things such as videos about the thing that they'll be presenting or videos about the conference, biographical data, photos, material like that that can be put up for personal web pages. One of the advantages to being a presenter at the conference is that we'll be able to enhance their SEO and their web presence by developing an area on the site that is their area for SEO reasons. It will build added derived credibility for them in the world of hypnotism as well as the world of the internet.
Well, certainly the communication and the bringing together people—it's important. I mean, obviously, for people who don't know, you and I met back in 2007 at a conference. At that time, I really didn't know what to expect about internet marketing and the like. And I guess I still don't know what to expect because it's also changing. But I do realize how valuable it was to have that personal interaction, webinars and online communications and hangouts. That's kind of the rage right now. But you really can't beat the interaction of personal contact, can you?
No, you can't. And one of the things that we try to do, for example, this conference, we've negotiated a special room rate with the venue, which will be the Holiday Inn Express out by Lambert Field in St. Louis. And so we've been able to negotiate a room rate of $69 a night, which is a very good room rate. One of the other things that we're doing with this conference is we're promoting the opportunity for it to be what we would call a workation, which is kind of a play on the staycation and the vacation. And a workation is a time where you can get together, learn things, gain, if you're in a mental health area, earn continuing ed credits, but also have other things around your venue that the family and you can participate in other than the mere networking. So we talk about all of the things that are available in the St. Louis area that people may or may not be aware of. And we put a segment up on the website about that. Currently, I'm in the process of trying to negotiate with some people for discount packages and things like that that people could benefit from, whether it be a cruise on the Mississippi or maybe buffets at the nearby casinos, or something with Dave and Buster's, which is within walking distance, things like that. Things you don't normally think about, unless you're on the other side of the conference.
Well, I'll follow that progress. It'll be interesting. I'm on the Facebook page right now. What is the I mean, you are utilizing many different applications of, I think you said at one point this was kind of a test of things that you have been talking about to see how about implementing it. Is there a process that you're following?
Yeah, as far as different products and so forth, there are. Right now, I'm facing some support challenges with a couple of them. I definitely like the ability and the potential of some of the tools I'm using, but they're not properly implementing. And so far, we haven't been able to figure out why they're not properly working, whether it's a matter of the theme that I'm using or what. So we're trying to work through that issue with VidSplash as an example. I really like VidSplash. I like what it does. But if it is not working for me, then it's not nearly as beneficial. There are some other programs I'm working with that do work quite well and have been working fine. So it's a matter of trying to work through these things. Today there was a new product release. But really, if it lives up to the potential, can be a game changer when it comes to using graphics and graphic design. But even in the launch of that product, they crashed three servers, and you know, it created a lot of frustration, and the presentation didn't necessarily always work out exactly the way they wanted. And when you get into the product, you're greeted with the fact that it's still this beta at the top of the screen. So I guess some of these things are to be expected. But no one was told it was still in beta mode when they were promoting the product. So, But time will tell, and it seems like everyone is in such a rush to get their product out that sometimes, you know, they don't, you know, dot all the I's and cross all the T's. Now, with this particular program that came out today, I know the developers, and I really know the graphic designer fairly well. I have every faith in the world that everything will be taken care of there. They always have provided great support and everything in the past, but it does create for a rocky start.
You mentioned JVZoo. That is one of the distribution channels for these information products that are out there. I was very familiar or have heard for years about ClickBank. There's others as well, but JVZoo seems to have some momentum now. Is it just because it's the people that I know, like you, who are using it and I see it more?
Well, yeah, they have a major momentum, but you still have out there the Warrior Forum, WSOs. You have ClickBank, obviously. You've got programs like everyone knows about Amazon. Amazon, for some people, doesn't work as well as others, not only because of the limited commissions, but where I live, they no longer allow you to be an affiliate of Amazon because of taxation. In certain states, you can't sell Amazon products if you're based in that state. So those are limitations. In the last week, someone has finally tapped into Alibaba, which is a major drop shipper and product provider out of China. And in fact, Alibaba itself is larger than both Amazon and eBay combined. And so it'll be very interesting to see how Alibaba in the development of physical products as well as other products begins to evolve as an affiliate platform. And you still have places like Commission Junction out there, a Share a Sale, what used to be called Link Share. I forget what their new name is now. But those affiliate platforms are still out there, too, for the selling of products. If you want to be a distributor or sell products available through Walmart, you can, JCPenney, you name it. They are all tapping into different levels of affiliate marketing.
It's just amazing. I'm looking at JVZoo's launch list, you know, and without getting into specific products, it lists 1,620 products. 1,620 different products are out there only on, well, maybe there's some duplication, but, you know, just this one JVZoo, you've got that many choices, and they range and they include cartoon mascots and vectors for these sketch videos for Explaindio and Easy Sketch Pro, and then profit generators and list management and Instagram. It's pretty much overwhelming sometimes, isn't it?
It is, and there are probably far more products than that. I think you're only looking at the products currently in the launch mode and upcoming launch, not necessarily
true.
All the products that are available.
No, that's true. This is just the launch list. Every once in a while, I like to go in and kind of see what's out, what's there, and how it's playing out. And so many of these, it does list the units that have been sold, and many of them are in 10 units or less. But every once in a while, you get a couple, 1,000 here and 5,000, and all of a sudden you start multiplying that by $30 a pop or $27, and then the special offers, and you see how much money can actually be generated from a properly developed product.
Yeah, it is, but you also have to factor in there that you've got your development cost for the product, you've got your bandwidth, you've got your commissions that are being paid out. So to the actual product developer, there may not be nearly the profitability that you think there is. That's one of the reasons why some people realize that it is best to develop and control their own products, and other people decide that they would rather let other people go to that trouble and expense and merely be an affiliate for the product.
Well, I'll tell you, it's an interesting game that we are involved in. We've got a couple of minutes left. Is there anything you'd like to summarize with?
Well, I think the main thing is learn what tools you already have and try to find out which ones work best for you and master those skills. For example, I have Photoshop and all of the Adobe products on a monthly subscription, very reasonable because I'm an academic. I have all the Microsoft Office 360 products because I was an academic. I was able to get all of the full products of Microsoft for less than $80 for 4 years. Not an ongoing monthly or anything. But having them and getting in and using them and learning how to maximize the use out of them, that's an investment well beyond anything monetary. And that's why when programs come out like the one that came out today, it simplifies to a degree the use of designing graphics. And it takes away part of the learning curve you would have if you were using Photoshop, but it doesn't totally eliminate all learning curves. And while the basic product is a great entry-level price, if you're going to want to get the templates and everything so that you've got something to work off of other than a blank canvas, then you need to go in and, as you point out, buy the OTO. And the OTO is for templates. Now, I've asked repeatedly on the webinar, I know we can import our own photos. The question is, can we import our own graphics and our own templates? And that was never answered. So I'll wind up sending off an email to Bertrando or filing a support ticket with Martin and Bertrando and just say, can this be done? And if so, do you upload through the normal photo uploader? And if not, then you've got a reason you probably have to go in and buy their OTO package of templates. And it's not that it's a bad value. You get 100 templates to start. I think it's $67 or something like that. And they add another 100 templates every month for the next 12 months. So eventually, at the end of the year, when they bring out another product probably, you will have 1,300 different templates there that you can work off of. And that's less than a nickel a template. And so it's certainly ultimately a good value. But sometimes you've got to make that initial investment to get going.
Well, and the real investment is time. But we're out of time for right now. We'll do this again soon. And Dr. Capps, thank you for your time.
All right. Take care and best to all. And Give Mary Louise my respects.
Most certainly.